Father, we're grateful for your love, thankful for your word and the challenge that it is. And God, I'm always thankful for your help when I preach, and I'm asking for it once again tonight. Thank you for it. God, I ask that your Holy Spirit do the work that he can only do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So tonight we're talking about love. Yeah, almost brought a red balloon just to have here the whole time. Thought it'd be a little bit of a distraction. What a subject though, right? Much has been said on the subject of love. Opinions are as many different as they are varied. Would you agree with that? Yep. I bet if we took opinions just from the floor tonight, we're not going to, because I'd be a little scared what came out of that section over there. Of what the definition of love is, I bet we'd have plenty. Would you agree? Yeah, I'm sure hundreds, if not thousands, maybe even millions of songs, poems, books, articles, posts, tweets, memes, movies, shows that have been written all about love, right? We have an entire holiday centered around it. We tell each other that we love one another when we are about to hang up the phone. So much so, I bet you've told a coworker, or a boss, or a telemarketer, love you too, and hung up. Anybody ever done that? I've done it. When you were a teenager, I'm sure you thought you loved that boyfriend or girlfriend, but what do we call that, right? Puppy love, right? I have a t-shirt. I've had it since eighth grade. I was a big eighth grader, okay? I've had it since eighth grade, and I love that t-shirt. Yesterday, I put it on, and I just got it broke in. It's got a hole right here. That's upsetting. I'm probably going to have to throw it away. Carl would probably keep it, wouldn't you, Carl? Yep. We say we love our favorite team or our favorite player. We say we love our favorite restaurant. Anybody got a favorite restaurant that they love? If it's not Albaran's, you're not right. Maybe you've heard this, love never fails, or all you need is love, all we need is love. The largest mosque in London, their theme is on the side. It says, love for all, hatred for none. Even other religions propagate love. Lots of people have lots of things to say about it. But what is it? Is it a heart-shaped balloon and a box of chocolates on Valentine's Day? Is it being kind to everyone? Is true love just a romantic relationship? Is it just something that we say once we hang up the phone? Lots of people have lots of things to say about love, including our God. Love is found all throughout the Word of God and is mentioned in a variety of ways, positive and negative, right situations and wrong. So when we get into Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22, we see it is, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, which means this. It is Spirit-produced love that we're talking about tonight. And we need to figure out what that is. I think it is significant that in this book, Paul, under the inspiration of God, put love first on the list. I think that it's so significant that love is the primary, maybe even the foundational fruit of the Spirit. All the other ones hinge on it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 through 2, if you have your ribbon thing over there. If not, I'll read it verbatim here. It says, what's known as, well, 1 Corinthians 13, it's known as the love chapter. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could even remove mountains and have not charity. Now we understand charity there is the same word as love right here in Galatians 5:22. He says, I am nothing. He says, I have all the knowledge, all the faith, all of the spiritual gifts that I could have, but if it's all absent of love, it's nothing. So it's pretty important, isn't it? Spirit-produced love, one commentator said, is a sure mark of the salvation of a believer's salvation. So if love is so foundational, so prioritized by the Lord and all throughout the Word of God, so dominant in this list of Spirit-produced fruit, What exactly is it? What does it look like? And is all love that we experience or see or read about in the Word of God Spirit-produced? And I'd say no. If you look at 2 Samuel 13, Amnon loved his sister Tamar. But it's not a Spirit-produced love, if you remember the story. He may have said that he loved her, but it was a love that wanted to be and was fulfilled in a sinful way. He didn't actually care about Tamar. He didn't care how it would affect his family, how his lustful love would produce conflict and all of the things that happened following this event. It was a counterfeit love. Once Amnon's plan was achieved, and in verse number 15 of that chapter, the Bible tells us that his hatred exceeded his love that he had for Tamar. That wasn't a Spirit-produced love. The love in our text tonight is agape love. Now, if you've been in the world of Christianity for a while, you've heard the term agape. It's the love that is shown from God to us. It's a willing love, a self-giving service love. It's a sacrificial love that you have for somebody else. It's Spirit-produced. It's the type of love that Jesus showed us. Now, when we start to think about sacrificial love and willing to be sacrificed for someone, sacrifice isn't just something that we're an absolute fan of, especially in our culture and society. What does our culture say? Make yourself as happy as possible, right? That means sacrifice isn't included in there, because sacrifices means that you're cutting something off from yourself to benefit someone or something else, right? So, sacrificial love isn't the type of love that our culture talks about very often, because they say make yourself as happy as possible. So whenever you are finding someone to love, you're going to find someone that's going to make you happy. Are you following me here? So it's not a Spirit-produced love. It's a love that is trying to gain and take from other people. We're getting somewhere, I promise. But the Christian is called to allow the Spirit of God to produce sacrificial love in their walk, in their walk with the Spirit. Now, but why? Why allow sacrificial love to be produced in our Christian walk? Well, because it says walk in the Spirit, be led of the Spirit, verse number 18. And so if we're walking in the Spirit and we're being led of the Spirit, that means the Spirit is going to produce fruit, and the one we're talking about tonight is love. But where, if we have the Spirit, if we're Christian and we're saved, where do we see that example of love that we can follow? Well, the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, the ultimate sacrifice. You see, Jesus Christ is the supreme example of the Spirit-produced love. I want to talk about this a little bit here tonight. He sacrificed when he left the throne room. Now today, I was really just mulling over a lot of this. He left the throne room where he was constantly worshipped, constantly honored and glorified. He was praised. He was the center of attention, and rightfully so. He sacrificed all of that and more that I probably am not smart enough to comprehend to become God wrapped into a baby's body in a filthy stable. Born into poverty. Now, they were poor. Likely didn't own anything. Once he became into his adult life, his holiness, his power, everything wrapped up into a baby born into poverty, a poverty-stricken family. Now, it's hard to imagine the stark contrast between the throne room of God, which we get a picture at times throughout the Word of God of what the throne room looks like, and all of the spiritual beings flying around and saying what they're saying. And we see the throne room of God, and we can kind of understand, but its awesomeness is absolutely past our comprehension, and we really won't know exactly what it is until we absolutely see it ourselves. But we understand what this world looks like and where we live, and we've seen places that maybe we would even say, man, I probably wouldn't live in that house. I don't know how I'd survive, right? So we've seen worse than what we have, but we haven't seen the worst of the worst. But God himself was born into a stable, from the throne room to a stable. I'm trying to get that across here. But then he grew up poor, and he learned a trade. He was a carpenter. He sacrificed the throne room, and he came to this earth, learned the trade, and he got splinters, and he got cut. He had a hammer, and I'm sure he hit his thumb at least once, right? From the throne room. And he leaves the hammer and the nails in the workshop, and then he goes into the ministry. And he calls 12 misfits, a motley crew, right? Bunch of guys that were way, way different from one another, and he calls them all to follow him. And he begins to go around, and he's traveling as a nomad, really, and we see in the Word of God, no place to lay his head. He likely owned nothing, but quite honestly owned everything because he was God. But he submitted himself to the life of a servant. Oh, I don't want to get ahead of myself. We're getting close. But he submitted himself to the life of a servant, a life of a nomad, and he's walking around this earth, and what's he doing? He's serving the people no one wants to serve. No, a leprous person. If they walked in tonight, someone with leprosy, one of the sections would be empty, y'all. But he would walk up to them and touch them. No, the beggars on the side of the road, Son of David, and he gives them their sight. No, he fed the hungry, but he was also called a liar and a lunatic. He was questioned constantly. God himself answering question after question after question over and over and over again to these Pharisees that he created and could name the amount of hairs on their head, but he humbled himself to minister to these people. Okay, from the throne room. But not just the 11, but also Judas. We're going through the book of John in Sunday school and just preached on Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. Judas, the man that betrayed our Savior, he walked with him and saw him face to face. Just thinking over it for the last couple of weeks, Judas probably had some late night questions for Jesus. And Jesus probably lost some sleep having to talk to Judas about something, right? Judas stole from the bag, which probably made it harder for everybody else, including Jesus himself. Jesus probably answered the questions that Judas had. He ministered to Judas. He loved him just like he loved Peter, James, and John. Though there was an inner circle, he still loved Judas. But then they get to the Last Supper, and Jesus stoops down and he washes the dirty, grimy feet of all the disciples, including Judas, all the while knowing Judas was going to turn him over to his murderers. The throne room, to clean in feet. That's just crazy to me. I told the teens, if I was there and I knew what Judas was going to do, he probably wouldn't have done it. You know what I mean? I would have been trying to take a sword and, you know, take care of him. Don't touch my God, right? But the Word of God tells us this. Yes, these acts of sacrificial love all throughout the life of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus to the publicans, to the sinners, to the misfits, to the maniac of Gadara, naked in the cemetery, cutting himself. All of those acts of love, yes, but the Bible also tells us this. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And his death, Christ's death on the cross, was the absolute most supreme sacrifice and the absolute act of sacrificial love. He died for Judas. He died for Judas. He died for the soldier with the whip in his hand, The soldier that nailed his hand to that beam and his feet, the one that held the nails. He died for Pilate and Herod. He died for the ones that, as he carried the cross up to Calvary, up to Golgotha, that spit on him and cursed his name. He died for the thief that didn't accept him and believe on him. Love. He died for the worst person you know. He died for the worst person in history. The worst person to ever live. He died for you. No, you know you better than I know you or your spouse knows you. You know the thoughts that you have, and not just the thoughts that happen here, but the thoughts that happen here. He died for you. And so when we begin to think about a Spirit-produced love, and we see that it's a sacrificial love, and the ultimate and supreme example of this sacrificial love is Jesus Christ Himself, we have to begin to think, okay, what does that look like in the believer's life today? What does it look like in our lives today? Now, you can go on and on about what Spirit-produced love looks like in a believer's life here and in this situation, in this situation, in this situation. But turn over to Matthew 22, verse number 37 through 40. We're going to talk about three areas tonight. Talk about our love towards God, our loves towards others, and then our love inside Bethany Baptist Church. Matthew 22, 37 says this. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Now, if we're going to love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, and mind, we can't do that in our flesh. We can't do that on our own. The Holy Spirit inside of us, that is indwelling inside of us, has to produce this love that is going to love the Lord with all of our emotion and all of our thought processes and everything in our being. He has to develop this type of love because we cannot develop ourselves, because in our flesh, we do not want to have sacrifices in our life at all. Though we may say, yeah, I try to live a Christian life, we all like to indulge and make ourselves as happy as possible. Sacrifices aren't fun. And so when God begins to work in us and we're trying to walk in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit, He's going to produce sacrificial love inside of you, which means if you're going to walk in the Spirit and be led by Him, it means you're going to act on that sacrificial love. And the first person that the Bible tells us it's supposed to go to or to be toward is toward God. And so that sacrificial love toward God not only happens in the offering plate, but it also happens serving all around. It also happens in the time that we devote towards Him. See, I'm really fast to open my wallet. That's really easy. You can earn more money. Sell something on Facebook. That was funny. It's okay. I know it's Wednesday night. We can sell something on Facebook and make money back. It's just easy. We sell junk on Facebook all the time. People buy it. They want it. But where I struggle, if God says, hey, give this much, there you go. I mean, that's just me. But when God wants me to sacrifice my time, that's a struggle. Time is fleeting. You don't get to earn time back. And so, I'm unspiritual, I'm just going to say it. If it seems like I'm going to waste my time trying to minister to somebody or try to spend time with somebody or listen to them, listen, it's going to be a sacrifice for me to sit there. That's me. Some of y'all are super spiritual. And man, you're all about it, and you're a blessing. But me personally, it's easier for me to sacrifice money than it is time, because time I can't get back. Time is one of those things where it's like, I don't know. Listen, I'm just going to say it. I don't know if this person's important enough for me to take the time to do this. But time out, it also slips into time with the Lord. And that's when my love, not my love, Spirit-produced love within me, if it's going to produce, you got to take the time. You got to show your sacrificial love to the Lord, because calendars are full and so are schedules. I like sleep a lot too. Can I get an amen? Thanks. That's pretty good, right? That snooze button's pretty easy. If I got to be up early for some work, that's easy. Come on. Hand me a shovel, Brother Carl. I'll be here. I won't talk for the first 30 minutes, but I'll be here, right? But if it's like, I'm going to wake up early and I'm going to read my Bible, for some reason it's easier for me to pick up a shovel than it is to pick up my Bible in the morning. It's because the Spirit-produced love. I love the Lord. I really do. But sometimes I struggle with loving sleep more, or loving my time. Okay. That's just me. Okay. He says to love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. But then He goes on. And the second is like unto it, like unto the first one. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. We are to sacrificially love anyone and everyone. Anybody got a cranky neighbor? Anybody got a neighbor with two dumb dogs? Just me? Oh, we got some hands over here. Thanks, Ray Ray. Appreciate you. Sometimes at 2 or 3 in the morning, I don't like dogs very much. But God has called me to love my neighbor. Let's just talk about American neighbors there, right? But also, when He says neighbors here, that means everybody you come into contact with, including the person that cuts you off, including the person behind the clerk, the register that's cranky for some reason, including the slow McDonald's worker, or the waitress that didn't fill your water up enough, or they totally got your order wrong. You're supposed to love them. Even your worst enemy. The person you can't stand. Now, in our flesh, what do we want to do? Brother Richie, what you want to do to your enemy? Brother Joel, that's what I wanted you to say. Right there. You want to give it to him. You know what I'm talking about? Right, teenagers? Keegan, you ever want to hit somebody? Yeah? All right, I thought so. Keegan, you ever want to hit me? Yeah. Do you love me, though? Nope. Walking in the flesh over there. No, listen, He calls us to love our enemies. People you can't stand. So we're supposed to love our God and sacrificially love Him. Whether that be from your wallet, whether that be from your time, whether that be your sleep, Lord, help us and give us the grace. Or whatever your struggle is. Maybe it's your thought life. Maybe it's your heart attitude. Sacrifice the things that you think are more important than Him, and sacrifice them and love Him. But then when it comes to your neighbors, the people that you come into contact with, it's your coworkers and your boss. No, if you want to show the love of Christ to somebody, if they're lost, you tell them about Him. And you say, well, that's going to ruin my image, man. I'm trying to get a promotion. Exactly. What's more important? What are you supposed to hand to Him, to your neighbor? You're supposed to love them. So if you're going to love them, sacrifice your image. Well, I look like a pulled together kind of guy. I'm going to stumble over my words. I don't know what to say. Sacrifice that image. Sacrifice your comfort, because we can all do grocery pickup, right? And when that person at HEB opens the trunk, they're the easiest people not to hand a tract to. because they don't even come to your window. It's amazing. As little human contact as possible. That's awesome. Judge me. It's cool. Make it uncomfortable. Roll your window down and be like, hey, I want to give you this. Sacrifice your comfort for your neighbor. Now, Galatians was written to who? The church in Galatia, right? So it was written to a local body. Reminds me of something here. Oh, Bethany Baptist Church, right? So Paul was writing to a group of believers. Yes, it applies to us today, but it also applies to this group of believers. Some of y'all have known each other a long time. Longer than I've been alive. Anybody known somebody in here longer than 28 years? Keegan, be quiet, bro. Y'all known each other? Yeah, Miss Pam, I was hoping. Not because you're old, but because I know you've known people for a long time. Okay. Some of y'all have known some of these teenagers since the day they were born. You went to the hospital and brought their parents a balloon. Why do we give baby people balloons? Bring them some money. That's what they need. Bring them some food, some coffee, and some money. That's what they want. All right, that's just my soapbox there. But you've known each other a long time. You know what happens when a bunch of sinners know each other for a long, 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 long time? You hurt each other's feelings. You do something that you know they don't like. And maybe even on purpose. I've done it. Listen, I work with Brother David and Brother Carl a lot. I know the days not to mess with Brother David. I know the month of the year. I'm not going to tell you when. But I know the month. And if I want to get on Brother David's nerves, I know what buttons to push. Brother David knows my buttons to push. When he starts talking about bad preaching, it gets me a little bit fired up. Now, if you think this is bad preaching tonight, sorry, but we're going for it. But we know each other's buttons. And sometimes, I know Brother Carl's buttons too. Brother Carl knows my buttons. He's a button pusher. And he knows how many times he can press it until, you know, the flesh comes out. But a spirit-produced love looks past shortcomings. And it begins to forgive. It also begins to forget. So in a local body of believers like this, someone's probably offended you at some point or another. The Bible says offenses will come, right? And so if offenses have come, what does a spirit-produced love do? It sacrifices your feelings. Not the other person's feelings. Because the Spirit is working in them, but the Spirit's in you, and it's got to produce something in you as well, or the fruits of the flesh are going to start rearing their ugly heads. And so when in a body of believers, a room full of sinners, hello, here we are, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to learn to sacrificially love one another. And I'm not saying we don't. Hey, we just had the youth auction. Woo! That's my favorite day of the year almost. You know why? I've never seen so much money get raised in such a short amount of time in my entire life. And my favorite part about it is watching people that are brand new, never been there before, because they never bring enough money. I love it. They always walk up to me afterwards. You know what they say? Well, I brought $50, brought $100, and I thought that would be enough, but I guess not. We're buying cakes for $500 in the Kids for Christ. You know why they're saying that? Because they've been to youth auctions before and things go for $5, $10, $15. They're like, I'm going to be generous. $100. Here we go. But then we got people going, $1,000 for Keegan. All he does is pick up heavy stuff. You know what I mean? Like we love each other and we love to give. And we have our missions revival and pastor's like, hey, I want to raise this much money. What do? As Bethany Baptist Church? We do it in Bethany Baptist Church form. We're going to do more. Because God's good like that. No, we just had the senior reception. I walked over there, and we're handing out cupcakes. We're having my wife's brown punch that tastes awesome. I love that stuff. It's terrible for you, but it's good. You know what I mean? I'm walking around drinking this punch, and I'm looking at these tables. You know what these seniors got? Cards on cards on cards. Nobody brought something in a gift bag because they know what they want. They know what they need. No, I think we got the whole, hey, you you want to be loved, here's some cash. But don't just make that the only way that you sacrificially love somebody. I'm just saying. Giving, loving church, amazing church. When people ask me about Bethany Baptist Church, I'm like, it's awesome to work for pastor, and you work hard, and you play hard, and it's great. But the people of this church, something different. I've been to a lot of churches in the past, and I'm coming up to going to a lot of different churches in the future. And I'm almost going to guarantee I'm not going to run into one like Bethany Baptist Church. Because this place is special. But we've all known each other long enough to see our shortcomings. Be like, I don't like that about that person. Brother Colin's too loud. Probably. Pastor looks past it every week, every day, sometimes every minute. No, I don't like that about this person. I don't like that about this person. Well, they did this a long time ago. Well, they did this back when we were. If you're going to sacrificially love and have Spirit-produced love, you know what you got to do? Sacrifice your feelings. It's not fun. It's not easy. But if you want to love somebody like Jesus loved them, serve them like Jesus served Judas. We're almost done here, I promise. I went long. I'm sorry, preacher. All right, I'm going to skip all this. When I begin to think about sacrificial love, I think of my parents, and I'll tell you this story real quick. I always had what I needed growing up. I got to play sports, a lot of sports growing up, and sports are expensive. Parents, you know that. They're just an expensive thing that you're a part of. Uniforms, and not only are they expensive with money, but they're also expensive with time because you got practice after practice, game after game, all of those types of things. And I mean, for a while at my house, sports were an expensive sacrifice because where our family was financially growing up, I'll just tell you, we had hot dogs, spaghetti, pizza rolls, and then we had this casserole that has Spam, black-eyed peas, and macaroni and cheese. And then we had Mexican casserole. You know what that was? It was ground beef, a can of cream of mushroom soup, a can of corn, and cornbread on top, and cheese sometimes. You know what all those meals were? Cheap. Or as my mom would say, cheap, 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 cheap. We were poor. But I never would have known it. And I'm not going to get into all the details because I think I might get a little too emotional. I don't want to. But when I was in high school, we just started having a bunch of teenage boys just show up at our house. They were my friends, Jacob, Kevin, Kevin's twin brother, Aaron, and Philip Odell. And they seemed like they always made their way over to our house on Wednesday night so they could get a church or a ride to church to the youth group. And we had every Wednesday night, I cannot tell you for how many years, what my mom to this day still calls Weenie Wednesday. It meant you were having hot dogs or pigs in a blanket. And pigs in a blanket were a hot dog with a croissant wrapped around it, a glorified hot dog. That's what it was, Weenie Wednesday. And we may have chips. We may have had French fries, maybe even tater tots, but we started to have teenage boys over, and you know what teenage boys can do? They can eat. And one day, it was just me, my mom, my dad, and Jacob, had 5 hot dogs. My mom looked at me, and she said, Colin, if he keeps eating like this, I don't know if we can have him over. That's the only time I heard her say anything about it. Now look, not only did we have all them teenage boys eating all our food, we'd also go and raid the fridge afterwards, and we'd usually polish off a gallon of milk that fast. And then I'd come home that night, and I'd have 3 or 4 PB&Js. I was a big old boy. But then we'd have a car full of boys with bellies that were full as well. And then we'd go down Grape Street on the north side of Abilene, and you know who we'd pick up? Another guy named Cleavon. Man, teenage years, I could not stand Cleavon. He's about this tall, and he had the most little man syndrome I'd ever seen in my entire life. Could not stand him. And honestly, my mom and dad probably couldn't stand him either. But we pick him up every Wednesday, take him to church. One after another. Jacob, Kevin, his brother Aaron, Philip, all got saved, all got baptized. Cleavon was saved earlier. And they all got discipled and they grew up in church. And when I think about sacrificial love and the things that my parents did for us and how they just loved on those boys and just loved on those boys and loved on those boys, even when they were a mess, like doing drugs kind of mess. I had bad friends. And I'm talking, they just loved on them and loved on them. And I know my dad hated driving everybody home late at night. I know he did. He'd do the Hendrix Man sigh. Waiting in the car at 9:30 because we wouldn't stop playing basketball. But over and over and over again, I look at them and I think the sacrifices that they did for not only me but my friends so they could see them come to the Lord. And they just ministered and ministered and ministered. And then I think about our Lord and I think about Judas. I can't comprehend what he did for Judas and how he knew and still was willing, in my opinion, to waste all the time. Spirit-produced love is sacrificial love toward God and everyone else.